Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Two, Felix Leitz, CBS News, Moscow Times, in North Ossetia, a part of the Caucasus that is much in the news since the disruption and combat of 2008. In North Ossetia, however, we look across the Black Sea to Ukraine and the ongoing crisis between Moscow, Kyiv, Washington, and Brussels. The Moscow Times reports that the presentation by the Russian Federation to Kyiv is part of the solution, proposing a solution that includes, I believe, a guarantee from someone that Ukraine, or what remains of it, the fragmented Ukraine, will not join NATO. Felix, this is a big story here, depending on whether inflation is high or low. Is it still a big story in Moscow, to your reporting? Good day to you, Felix.
Good day, John. Yeah, it definitely is a big story. You know, we've heard a few things sort of from the Kremlin in the last day or so, or I should say more the last week or so, that, you know, might be considered as sort of ginning up that kind of popular support for sort of a military solution, as it were, in the Ukrainian crisis. So, you know, we've seen Putin say things like, you know, that he says there's a genocide going on in the Donbass and all this kind of exotic stuff. So I think definitely, you know, I've in our conversations, I've been quite sort of skeptical of the drive to war, because, you know, I've tended to take the view that the issues of the day in Russian politics sort of domestically right now are more sort of economic ones, bread and butter ones, not sort of, you know, foreign policy, geopolitical glory. But I think maybe, you know, there is certainly an attempt by the government to sort of raise the temperature domestically. So, yeah, I think there is an effort, but it's still a very, very sort of murky situation. And I don't think anyone should be sort of making, you know, cast iron analyses or prognoses or decisions about what's likely to happen in the next few days there.
Does it get coverage on the television news at night, say a couple of seconds clip of the Russian military at in Crimea or on Ukraine border? Do we get a glimpse of it?
Well, it's not. You have to understand that sort of the war is generally covered from the other side there. You know, if the West is saying, you know, Russia is building up its troops and that is a problem, Russia is very much saying that sort of Ukraine is building up its troops and that's a problem. So what we get is an angle more focused on things like, you know, the idea that Ukraine is getting ready to sort of militarily retake the Donbass, militarily retake Crimea, rather than sort of emphasis on what Russia is doing. But certainly, you know, this is a live issue that's sort of covered on the media. So, you know, that is very much, you know, in the picture right now.
Also, the President of Russia speaking to the chairman of the Chinese Communist Party, Mr. Xi, making very friendly remarks about being partners. Is this seen as a new development or reinforcing old assumptions that Russia and China are working together for security in Eurasia?
Yeah, I mean, it's a difficult sort of a question. It's possibly both sort of one and the other. You know, there is a certain sort of alignment of Russia and China at the moment. You know, there's a few key issues on which they sort of agree. You know, they're obviously both broadly sort of counterposed to America. So I think they both sort of find a lot to agree on there. But I'm not sure this is sort of an alliance as such, you know. It's interesting to note, for instance, that Putin made one of his only international trips of the whole pandemic quite recently, but it was not to China. It was to India, which is, of course, China's sort of big, you know, regional foe. And so this is not sort of a very warm and sort of loving relationship, you know. It's sort of, it remains, I think, quite transactional. And yes, they agree on a lot, but I think there's a lot of sort of mutual distrust from the two sides as well. So it's sort of quite hard to generalize, I think.
The foreign policy aide, Yuri Ushakov, I'm following the reporting in the Moscow Times, described the 1.5 hour call as a conversation between, quote, two colleagues and two friends. This is very careful language presented ceremonially state to state. I'm struck, Felix, about how we're developing protocols for virtual conversations. Once upon a time, diplomats or leaders of state were taught how to conduct themselves when visiting other people's territories. Now I'm imagining we've got new protocols underway when you're meeting virtually. I noted the other day the very important conversation between Mr. Putin and Mr. Biden, and I smiled when I read they had audio problems at the start, Felix, just like us. Always, you know, the virtual game can't defeat the gods of Zoom. Now we go to another matter that presses on everybody, although it's right now really coming directly toward you and the foreign community. It used to be called the Germans. The old Russians called everybody who wasn't a Russian a German. Health checks for foreigners once every quarter. What does this mean? Where does it come from, Felix?
It's a very, very strange situation. I'm almost at a loss for what to say about it because it's come as such a shock. You know, there's this sort of new rule that all foreigners have to submit to a long and sort of arduous health check quarterly, so sort of four times a year. I think in general, one thing that it likely links to is that what you've had recently in Russia, in the last sort of few months, especially in Moscow, is a real rise in sort of anti-migrant sentiment. And I'm not talking about sort of, you know, vis-a-vis sort of Europeans or Americans. I'm talking specifically about sort of Central Asians. You know, the Kremlin has sort of really hyped up a couple of instances of sort of crime committed by migrants, and that's becoming sort of a political issue right now. And so I think one of the sensible bets might be to see this through this prism, right? The Russian government has decided that it's popular to sort of single out sort of migrants from countries like Uzbekistan, Tajikistan, Kyrgyzstan. But apart from that, you know, it's a very strange situation. It's an incredibly dubious thing for them to do, and it's strangely kind of onerous and the specific requirements they've made. So in many ways, you know, your guess is as good as mine.
Yes, tuberculosis, coronavirus, sexually transmitted diseases, including HIV and AIDS, drugs, psychoactive substances. We're looking at a strange confrontational decision on the part of the Russian government. Now to another matter that weighs on all of us, climate change. The reporting here is that there are unusually warm temperatures in Siberia in eastern Russia. Some days there's reporting that it's balmy in Siberia. Does this worry Moscow? Does this worry the Russian government?
It's a good question. I think, you know, certainly this climate change in the last sort of 2 years and certainly has become a really live sort of issue, you know, in Russian politics. And this, I think, is not the first time we've discussed this with you, John. What you have here is really sort of a great deal of sort of concern, both on the sort of popular level way. We do see, I think, you know, it's almost like the reality of climate change is just very difficult to deny in Russia right now. You know, I was up in the Caucasus Mountains, what, 3-4 days ago, and, you know, at 2,000 feet above sea level, there's no snow in December. You know, that is not normal. And I think people, you know, are quite concerned by that, quite naturally. And what you see in the Kremlin in the last couple of years is that they're sort of turned onto it too. And, you know, there are a number of reasons why, right? One of them is that Russia is very, very fossil fuel dependent in terms of its economy. And so if the world at large sort of decarbonizes, then that obviously has huge implications for Russia as well, and in its sort of fossil fuel exports. But there's also all kinds of stuff here. You know, this particular story is about the Arctic, and I know one of the issues that reputedly has very, very much disturbed Vladimir Putin is the situation with permafrost melt in the north of Russia. You know, something like 2/3 of Russia's landmass is covered in permafrost, and so if that melts, it's enormously problematic for all the cities, all the sort of factories, all the military infrastructure that is built on land that is sort of decaying away and softening into mush. And so there are a huge number of sort of issues that confront Russia here. So yeah, it is an enormous issue. Right. You know, I remember talking to you about the wildfires this summer, which were an enormously emotive topic and really got people sort of concerned concerned and worried about climate change, I think.
Felix Leit, CBS News, Moscow Times. He's traveling in the Caucasus. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Chances are you've been to the doctor recently, and you probably handed over your insurance, your ID, and even your social security number. Your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal info. And if any of them accidentally expose your details, you could be at risk for identity theft. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second. If you become a victim, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.